reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Acts. It's on page 1164, and we read Acts 1, beginning at verse 1. The first book referred to here is the Gospel of Luke. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me." But John baptized with water. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and he said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, found on page 1249. And we read Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 15. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as a head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1132. And we read Luke 24, beginning at verse 44. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based not on one of your assigned lessons for this morning, but a part of scripture we used in our liturgy earlier from Romans chapter 8. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This is our text. During my first call to a congregation, some years ago now, we lived in a parsonage that was right next door to the church. And so when lunchtime would roll around, I would simply get out of my office, walk about 20 feet, and go into the house and sit down and have lunch with my wife. At that particular time, we had a little black TV, I'll bet, you know, black and white TV about this big. I'll bet a lot of you people had one of those at one time in your lives. And we had it sitting on a TV tray right next to the kitchen table. And so while we were eating lunch, we'd pass the time watching that little black and white TV. And from 12 to 1, the greatest lawyer who has ever existed on the planet was on that little TV. Perry Mason. How many of you know Perry Mason? Ah, great. He never lost a case. In fact, as we watched him over and over and over again, we learned that precisely at 12:53, he would save his client and somebody else would confess or be pointed out as the real perpetrator of the crime. 12:53, exactly. If any of you are still watching reruns of Perry Mason, just add 53 minutes to the start of the program and you will find out who done it. So you can skip the first 53 minutes. He never lost a case. Never. It was on for years. The problem is, he doesn't exist in real life. There are no lawyers who are that good. And yet, even in a world where lawyers certainly aren't perfect, there's still a saying about people who don't use them. If you're going to represent yourself in a court of law, most people will say that you have a blank for a lawyer. Anybody know how to fill that in? Fool, that's right. Never represent yourself. Now, over the years here, I've often used this as an illustration. But it does tell you where our world is at in terms of their understanding of God and themselves. Never represent yourself in a court of law, because then you'd have a fool for a lawyer. And even though there aren't Perry Masons out there, you're better off using one than not. And yet, in the greatest court of all, when people one day will stand before God, and He Himself will judge us, how do they represent themselves? It was from an evangelism program that was popular years ago, and you've heard me mention it before. But there's this old evangelism question about, if you were to die tonight and you were to stand before God and He would say to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" What do 86% of all people say? "I've tried to live a good life." They have a fool representing themselves. And what's even more sad is that while there aren't any Perry Masons on earth, on this weekend when we're celebrating the Ascension, there is someone standing there ready to represent us to God. And when you have Him representing you, you will never lose. It's interesting how the Apostle Paul, in this lesson from Romans, portrays the role of Jesus Christ after His resurrection, after His ascension, in such courtroom terms. "Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." You know, since 86% of all people, at least in America, seem to forget that, it's important for me to remind you about that again and again. If we try to represent ourselves before God, He will remind us of all the sins we have committed. And even though you may try to give a life, we all know we fail again and again. And if all we have when we stand before God is our own lives to point at, the verdict is guaranteed to be guilty as charged. Christ will be standing there, And all who elect not to point to themselves, but call upon him to represent themselves, will get a verdict that is quite different. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. And he didn't die to pay for his own sins. He died to pay for ours. Yes, we have sinned. But the penalty is already paid by him. And it doesn't matter what the crime. Even that thief on the cross, that thief who admits as he's dying on the cross that he deserves what he is getting, is told by Jesus, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." He had no goodness of his own. But what he did have is not Perry Mason. He had our Lord Jesus Christ, who died and paid for our sins and now stands ready as he sits at the right hand of God to represent us before him. And even though we might be as guilty as sin, because of what he has done, when we call upon him to represent us, God will joyfully declare us not guilty. You know, a number of years ago, my mother and dad, who were active members of a congregation, although, and I think most of you know this, I don't have any clergy anywhere in my personal background. But one day when that particular evangelism program that used those questions called upon them to, if you will, practice their evangelism techniques, they came out to the house, and maybe you'll figure out now why, even though I have no pastors in my background, I ended up being a pastor. They sat down with them, and they went through all the evangelism program steps. And finally, as they were reaching kind of the conclusion of that particular style of evangelism, they were practicing. They asked my mother and dad, "If you were to die tonight and you were to stand before God and he would ask you, why should you go into heaven? How would you answer?" And you know what my mom and dad said? "Well, because Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins." And the couple that was visiting with them, practicing their evangelism skills, said, "Oh, thank you for saying that." My mom and dad were members of a very, very good Lutheran church, Missouri Synod congregation up in White Bear Lake, Minnesota. "You're the sixth church family we've visited, and you're the first ones to say that." I kid you not. We need to remind ourselves again and again that it isn't our goodness that saves us. It's what God has done for us in Jesus. And not only is it important for us as members of a Christian congregation to remind ourselves of that again and again, we need to realize that most of the people we know, even though they might go to church, even though they might be regular, even though they might have heard the gospel again and again, because of our sinful nature, we forget it. We have a great God and the great Savior who stands ready to defend us against all accusations. May God grant that when we one day stand before God, we don't forget to call upon Him to be our one and only defense. But in a world of uncertainty, with so many people who have forgotten the essence of our Christian faith, may we also remind them again and again that not just we, but all who claim to know Christ may have the same certainty, the same confidence, which comes from knowing who it is that will defend them in the day of judgment. It is Christ and Christ alone. Christ who died, Christ who rose again to assure us of life. And Christ ascended on high each and every day, interceding on our behalf. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.